Man, the message title this morning is, Worthy is the Lamb to Receive Glory. As you can see the scripture on the screen, Revelation 5:12, we've been making our way ministering through these seven things that the Lamb is worthy to receive. And today we're on number six, Worthy is the Lamb to Receive Glory. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, the nations, our surrender. Worthy is the Lamb to receive riches, our tithes and offerings and alms. Worthy is the Lamb to receive wisdom, the wisdom of God flowing out from His people. Worthy is the Lamb to receive strength, the strength of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Worthy is the Lamb to receive honor, that loving adoration, that loving honor and reverential awe from His people. And today we come to number six. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory. This one's easy to interpret for all of us. Glory refers to the ministry of praise and worship, celebrating the goodness of the Lord, magnifying the Lord. The Lord is worthy of our praise. He's worthy to receive glory from the saints. Our first and foremost ministry is unto the Lord, to minister to Him. Before we minister in our calling, in our gifting, in a particular ministry the Lord has for us, for every believer, our first ministry is unto the Lord. And the Lord clarified it very clearly in Scripture where He said, I want those who will come and minister to Me. He said, I want you to be priests and minister unto Me and bring offerings and bring your worship and praise and sacrifices. And He said, I will give you time and I'll give you opportunity to minister to people. But the first and foremost ministry is for the Lord. And I want to remind you as we teach in Church Life Seminar number 2, the gifting course, that worship is our eternal ministry. It's an eternal ministry. It's our eternal ministry. Praise and worship is the only ministry that is going through into eternity. And we will worship and praise and magnify the Lord forever. So we understand from that alone how important it is to the Lord. All other ministry that we have ends with this life. And sometimes there are seasons where we minister in certain ways and then God leads us on, develops different areas of our life. Ministry is changing. Ministry unto man changes and it ends. But ministry unto the Lord will go on forever. Question was raised to Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Bible? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God. You shall pour out your love upon the Lord. Love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. Worship the Lord with all your heart. Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment. Then He said, and the second, it's like unto it. It's also a commandment of love, to love one another. But He said it's second. First and great commandment, first things first. We keep them in the right place. Our first ministry is unto the Lord, to magnify, to worship Him, to lift Him up, to pour out our praises on the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory. I trust that as ministering priests, we always have this foremost ministry active in our life, that we are called to praise and worship and sing unto the Lord and magnify His name. Lift Him up, for He is glorious and He is wonderful. He's our King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. This ministry is going through to eternity, and I can't imagine what it's going to be like when we stand on that forever sea of glass with all the fiery judgments of God under our feet forever. Home at last, safe, having overcome all the mischief of Satan, all his trickery, all his wiles, all his deceit and his temptation, having overcome all trials and temptation, having won out over all sorrow and toil of this life. And there we will be dancing on those golden streets, lifting up the praises of God. What a day that will be. What a day that will be in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible in the book of Revelation opens the door to heaven in certain places. And we understand the worship of heaven, what it's like. My, they're ministering spirits before the throne and the redeemed of the Lord are crying out to the Lord. And the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, with an incessant cry night and day. Heaven is filled with praise. Heaven is filled with wonder. Heaven is filled with the worship of the Lord. And the Bible says there is thunderous applause in the heavens. It's like thunder. The sound of thunder as God's people stand before his throne and clap their hands and lift their voices. It's like the roar of many waters. It's like the roar of mighty waters that cascades again and again. That's the worship of heaven. And one day we'll be standing in the fullness of that. But my, what an opportunity we have in this life, this side of eternity, to lift up glory to the King of Kings, to lift up thunderous praise and applause, to lift up our voice and shout unto God, to give him adoration and praise and worship him with the worship that is due unto him. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory. Psalm 29, verse 1 and 2, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, that's what the Lord calls you, mighty ones. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name, the praise due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. This is an honorable task. It's a high and holy calling, isn't it? To give to the Lord the glory, the praise due to his name. My, what a call that is out of our spirits. What a compelling, what a demand on our lives to bring the Lord that level of praise and worship and thanksgiving from our hearts. 1 Chronicles 16, verses 28 and 29. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples, families gathered before the Lord, father and mother and sons and daughters, the whole family gathered before the Lord. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Chapter 28, verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. The Bible says we are to glory in the Lord. We are to glory in the Lord. Why do we glory in the Lord? Why do we come and bring the Lamb our worship and praise? Why do we bring him our glory? Number one today, because he is worthy of our highest praise. Because he is worthy of our highest praise. Psalm 113, 4 to 5. The Lord is high above all nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? He is worthy of our highest praise. He dwells on high. He is high and lifted up. He is above all things, our great and wonderful Lord, and he deserves our highest praise. Now, there are basically three kinds of praise. There are highest praises, there are high praises, and there are praises. Highest praises, Lord of all. There's a worship song that's popular right now. Highest praises, Lord of all. Highest praises are praises that exalt our high God and lift him up in his greatness and in his station. Highest praises are praises that exalt the highness of our God. And we're going to come back to that in a moment. High praises are warfare praises. Praise weaponry, worship warfare. High praises have that militancy against the enemy. They are the weapons of war. And the Bible says in Psalm 149:6, that the high praises of God are to be in our mouth, the high praises of God in our mouth, and a two-edged sword in our hand to execute judgments upon the peoples and to bind the kings, spiritual wicked spirits, with chains, and to bind nobles, and to go and conquer the land, for that's the imagery of the Canaan conquest right there in Psalm 149. We offer up high praises as well. These are the worship warfare praises of the Lord. These are the militancy of the, this is the militancy of the people of God, where God has dancers who dance upon injustice. We tread down serpents and scorpions, Jesus said. He said, I give you power to tread down serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Now, he wasn't talking about literal creatures running around in the sand. He was talking about demonic powers. He said, I'm giving you power to tread upon those demonic powers. And Psalm 91, that great psalm, tells us that we have been clothed with power and God has given us strength so that we can tread on the lion and the young adder. The young lion and the dragon, we can trample them under our feet. These wonderful dances of the Lord where there's a militancy that comes into our spirit. For the Lord said in Micah 4 that he would cause our horn to be iron and our feet to be brass, that we would dance in judgment on the enemies and they would be ground like powder beneath our feet. What a wonderful worship weapon is dancing before the Lord. My, we tread down enemies. We break enemy powers out of our life. If you haven't learned to dance before the Lord, go into your private place at home and begin to tread on some serpents and scorpions. Begin to break down some powers of the enemy and become a worship warrior in your heart. The Bible says, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. The Bible commands us. The Lord said in the prophets, shout against Babylon. Babylon is the city of Satan. It's the world system. It's the citadel of darkness. God says, you shout against Babylon. And he said, shout against Jericho. Shout against Jericho, for I've delivered it into your hand. So we know how important it is to shout the triumph of the Lord in our life. We clap our hands against the enemy. We strike against the enemy. We say, get away from me, away with you, Satan. We use our hands as weapons of righteousness and we drive back enemy powers. Be thou removed, obstacles, and be cast into the sea. The high praises of God. We lift our hands to the Lord. Bible says that as we lift our hands to the Lord, one of the Hebrew praise words is yada, and it means to worship with extended hands, but it also means to throw out the hands in power. And when we stand in worship in a warfare way, it's as if the imagery of the Bible and the Hebrew is that there are arrows shooting off our fingertips and sling stones are going off from our hands to take down giants and powers of darkness. There are high praises. Hallelujah. My, what a victory in the praises, because the Bible says we will triumph in your praise. If you need victory in your life, take on some worship warfare in your life. Then we have praises in general. Highest praises, high praises, praises. These are the general praises where we pour out affection on the Lord. It's the song of the bridegroom, the Lord singing to us, the song of the bride where we sing to him. Purify my heart, send your fire, send your rain, send your Holy Spirit. I give you my heart, I give you all things. These are the general praises, and oftentimes they deal with human need, where we need a stronghold, we need comfort from the Lord, we need healing, we need deliverance, and those are the general praises of the Lord. But now back to the highest praises of the Lord, the highest praises. These are praises that exalt our high God and lift him up to be magnified and look at him in his rightful place and in his position. High praises of God, the highest praises of God. In the Bible, the Lord, one of his titles is the highest. He is the highest, and you can read that in many places. Jesus was spoken of as the Son of the highest God. Abraham addressed him many times as El Elyon, God Most High. Or you also see it as Most High God. There is this aspect where God is lifted up so high above every other god, every other creature. And we are to exalt that highness of our Lord. Deuteronomy 6:4, words that Jesus reiterated in Mark 12:29. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one! Exclamation mark in the New King James. Hear, O Israel, hear, people of God, the Lord your God is one. The one. One of the titles of God is the one, capital O-N-E. There is no one like him. There is no one like him. He is high and lifted up above all other gods. In fact, all the gods of the heathen, the Bible says, are idols. They are dumb and they are deaf. They cannot help man whatsoever. And all false religions are demonic fabrications that leave people in darkness. They're demonic fabrications. There's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus, the one who died on the cross to save us and redeem us from our sins and break the tyranny of Satan over our lives. The Lord is high, and so we bring highest praises, Lord of all. We sing, who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwells on high? We sing Psalm 97 and verse 6, I exalt thee, for thou, O Lord, art great. You're high above all the earth. You are exalted above all gods. Those are the highest praises that we give to the Lord. We are magnifying who he is. We're magnified. We're not in warfare. We're not singing about human need and our own situations. We are exalting him for who he is. Years ago, we used to sing a scripture chorus out of 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Those are highest praises. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, we're singing and lifting up those praises. Lord, those are the highest praises. And we would all understand the highest praises in one of the most famous hymns ever written. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. We're lifting up the highest praises. We are exalting the Lord in his place and in his position. Why do we give the Lamb glory? Why do we offer the Lamb glory? Number one, because he is worthy of our highest praise. Number two today, because he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy and forgiveness and the love of God. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. My, he's worthy of our praises. He's redeemed us. The Bible says in Psalm 40 that he took us out of the miry clay. He took us out of a horrible pit, lifted us out, rescued us out of a horrible pit and set our feet upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus, and he established our goings, and he has put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. We were in a pit of darkness. We were bound in miry clay, sinking, sinking. And man is outside of God, is in a miry pit, and he's sinking. He can do all kinds of movements and motions and try and suspend himself, and he can for a time. But sooner or later, every person without God is engulfed in the miry clay and ends up in the pit of darkness, in the pit of hell itself, in dungeons of darkness. We were sinking. We were on our way out of this world into a Christless eternity. But the love of God, Jesus Christ, reached down his hand as we surrendered and called out to him in faith. And he pulled us out of that miry clay. And he set our feet on a rock. He established our feet. We know where we walk. We walk by the word of God. We walk by the light of God. And he's put a new song in our mouth, even praise. It's a new song. Revelation 5:9 says that those who are redeemed from the earth, they sing a new song. We're singing the song of redemption. We're singing the song of salvation. It's a new song. Revelation 14 says it's a song that no man can learn except those that are redeemed from the earth. Only those redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ can sing this song of deliverance, this song of salvation, this song of praise. Now, the world has its songs, and it has some beautiful songs, but there's not one song in the world, no matter how beautiful it is, that can compare to the song that lives in our heart, the song of the saints, because we've been redeemed and we sing salvation song. We sing the song of our victory, of our deliverance in Jesus Christ. We never tire of singing of our redemption, do we? We never tire of singing of the salvation of God, the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing, our union with Christ. This is the new song that God has put inside the heart of those that are born again. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's lifted us out of the pit of darkness and brought us into the light of Christ. Once we were in darkness, you know, once we were naked. We were unarmed. We were defenseless against Satan and his temptation. We were defenseless against the power of the flesh, our own fallen human nature. But the Lord has put defense on us, and he's given us weapons, and we now triumph over the flesh, over sin, and over Satan. Adam and Eve in the beginning were created in righteousness and true holiness. Created in righteousness and true holiness. But Satan came along and he tried to pull them away from God and dissuade them from the promises of God. And for a short time, there was a scuffle. And there was some argument brought forth by Adam and Eve. They had the promise of God. They had the word of God. And they brought forth an argument, but Satan prevailed against them. And they ate of the forbidden fruit. And the Bible says in Genesis 3:7 that when that first sin took hold of their life, when that temptation and that disobedience took hold of their life, their eyes were open and they knew they were naked. They knew they were naked. Satan had stripped them of their armor. He'd stripped them of their glory. He'd stripped them of their strength. And they stood naked and they said, "Let's fashion some fig leaves and make some aprons to cover us." Outside of Jesus Christ, man is unarmed. Man is defenseless. Man stands before Satan, and he's no match for Satan. And Satan leads man off captive, one to this sin, one to the other sin. It doesn't matter. Man outside of God is powerless against the wiles and the trickery of Satan. But Jesus Christ has come, and he's clothed us. He's clothed us. He's put armor on us. He's put the armor of light on us. He's called us out of darkness. We now walk clothed in the armor of God. We're protected. We understand the warfare. We know how to walk. We guard the steps of our feet. We're wise unto salvation. We discern all things, what they will bring forth in our life, good or bad. What's the reward? What is the fruit if I partake of this action? I mean, the Lord has blessed us so much that we can even discern every thought, every lying thought of the enemy we can bring into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There are so many lying thoughts that come against Christians every day, those lying thoughts of the enemy. The people of this world fall powerless under those lying thoughts and imaginations and strongholds, but we as the people of God can discern every lying thought, chain it up, and deliver it over as a captive to Christ and walk on in his victory. Romans 13, 12 to 14. The Apostle Paul said, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, his very person, his very image, his very power, and make no provision. Make no provision. Don't give the devil a foothold. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. In verse 12, he said, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And then he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our armor. Now, we identify the pieces of armor, the seven of them in Ephesians chapter 6, but let's understand that Jesus Christ is our armor, and we put him on, and we are strengthened, and we are defended against the enemy, and we walk in light. Ephesians 5:8, this is enlightening. For you were once darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It says you were once darkness. It doesn't simply say that we were once in the dark. Now, we were in the dark without the knowledge and understanding of the Lord, without the light of God and salvation. But this verse goes further. It not only says or infers that we were in the dark, but we were actual darkness. We were darkness, the darkness of sin, the darkness of a fallen creation, bound in lust, serving many lusts, serving Satan, captives of Satan. We were darkness. If mankind today, if they are simply in the dark, well, maybe somehow they can find their way out. Maybe somehow they can stumble their way out of the dark. Maybe they can find some light. Maybe they can find some rehabilitation. Maybe they can find some motivational speaking. Maybe they can find some self-help. Maybe somehow, if they're only in the dark, maybe somehow they can stumble their way out of the dark. But the Bible says they're not only in the dark, they are darkness. And no man can change himself and get rid of the darkness. There's only one who can bring us out of darkness, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord, because he is the light of the world. He calls us out of darkness. Why do we give him glory? Why do we sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory? Why do we pour out praises like we do? Because Jesus Christ has delivered us from darkness and brought us into his marvelous light, his salvation and understanding. Number three today, final point. Because we have to pay down our praise in light of all the benefits bestowed on us. Why do we glory in the Lord? Why do we give the Lord glory? Because we have to pay down our praise in light of all the benefits bestowed on us. Psalm 103, 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. All that is within me. Everything I can pull out of my spirit, out of my soul, out of my emotions, out of my love for God, out of my affections, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. And the psalmist goes on in the next few verses to list seven benefits that we receive from the Lord. I'm not touching on those today. But every one of them is like a category in itself. Who forgives all your iniquities? And it's like a treasure chest that opens up, and you start to praise the Lord for forgiving your sins, and you remember how he saved you and how he delivered you, and he doesn't remember the sins of your youth against you and how he's helped you against struggles. I mean, you can spend an hour just unloading that treasure to the Lord. Who heals all your diseases, and that one opens up, and you can spend an hour praising the Lord for the times he's healed you, and how he's brought a word of wisdom to your life, and how he's brought instruction to you, and all the healings he's brought to your family, and how he's strengthened your body, and who he is, Jehovah Rapha, and all his promises, and you open that treasure chest, and you pour out praises, and there's seven of them like that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He's worthy of our praise. We need to pay down our praise in light of all the goodness of the Lord that has manifested to our lives. One of the reasons for getting to the house of God early on Sunday morning is to start paying down your praises. I mean, a 40-minute worship service isn't quite enough to pour down or to pour out all the praises that the Lord deserves for my life. But if I can get into the prayer room early and start pouring out some praises, and if I can walk into the worship service and jump on the worship, at least I can make some headway into the praises that the Lord deserves from my heart and from my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So worthy is our Lord. The praises of the Lord on our life for all his benefits. For all his benefits. An oath of praise on our life. A vow of praise, the Bible says. And let's look at a few scriptures. Psalm 22 and verse 25. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows. But for those who fear him, set in parallel, my praise and my vows. My praise shall be of you. I will pay my vows. Is there a vow of praise on your life? Have you come under oath that you will praise the Lord at all times? That his praise will continually be in your mouth? The Bible speaks of this vow of praise. And my, is it liberating? As we go through a few more scriptures, maybe you've never made a vow of praise, but this morning by the Holy Spirit, you say in your heart, I'm making a vow of praise that I will praise the Lord for all his benefits toward me. And I will come into the house of the Lord with songs and joy and expression because my Lord is worthy to be praised. The vows of the Lord are not chains of bondage. The vows that you make before the Lord are cords of love to him, and they are liberating. They are not binding. They are liberating. When we make vows to the Lord, they liberate us. Vows are liberating. I think of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said about marriage, the marriage bond, the bonds of matrimony. He said, once you are married, it's no longer love that sustains the marriage. It's the marriage that sustains the love. That's worth thinking about. Once you're married, it's no longer the love that sustains the marriage, although that love is there. It's the marriage that sustains the love. A vow of praise this morning. Psalm 50 and verse 14. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High God. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows. Psalm 56, 12. Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. Lord, if you deliver me, you save me from sin, you take me out of my difficult situation, I will praise you. David said, I've got vows of praise on my life, and they're binding. Perhaps some Christians have, it's not a luxury, but the option to come into the house of the Lord and not praise the Lord with all that is within them. But those of us who have vows of praise on our life, we cannot come in at that level because the vows of the Lord are binding upon us. And we said we will praise the Lord and we will enter in and we'll give you highest praises and we'll operate in high praises, Lord. Highest praises, high praises, and we will praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your vows are binding upon me. I will render praises to you. Psalm 61 and 8. I will sing praises to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Daily perform my vows. Lord, every day I'm going to rise up and praise you. I'm going to sing to you in the morning. I'm going to exalt your name. Your vows are daily upon me. Psalm 65 and 1. Praise is awaiting you, O God, in Zion. And to you the vow shall be performed. Praise is awaiting. To you the vow shall be performed. Psalm 76 and verse 11. Make vows. Make vows. Here's the injunction of Scripture. Say, oh, I don't like to vow in case I can't keep it. Well, if you make a vow to the Lord, it will go a long way in putting strength into your life to follow the Lord as you should. I don't mind telling you, I have vows on my life, not only in the praise department, in other areas of my life. I have vows upon me in my life, and they have kept me at times when emotion or circumstance or difficulty would try and erode the covenant of the Lord. My vows before you. I cannot move to the left hand or the right. Your vows are on me, and they are binding. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Hannah made a vow to the Lord. My, was she blessed of the Lord. Make your vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. And then Psalm 139 as we close out. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Think about that for a moment. How precious are your thoughts to me. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. When I awake in the morning, you are still thinking of me, one translation says. Lord, you've been thinking about me all night long. In the morning, the thoughts of the Lord are flowing. Lord, if you listen, you'll hear his thoughts to you. You'll hear what he's saying about you, about the day, your victory, how to overcome your sluggishness of the morning. Maybe some negativity, maybe some tiredness. If you listen, the Lord's thoughts are flowing toward you. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory. Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory. We need to pay down our praise. The Bible says these thoughts of the Lord, these benefits, these promises, these God thoughts, this goodwill of the Lord is more in number than the sand. What is lighter than a grain of sand? And yet what is weightier than sand when it's gathered together? It's like all the benefits of God are like a little grain of sand, but my, do they pile up. You get up in the morning and you look outside and look at the beauty of that flower, and well, that flower is so different, and there's another flower, and Lord, look at the leaves on that plant, and look at the trees. I mean, there's just benefits just everywhere. The thoughts of the Lord, and you start taking those up, and then you look at your own body, and you awoke, and you could see, and you could hear, and you could smell, and you could eat your food, and you could use your hands, and you could walk, and you could run. These benefits, and Lord, my heart is beating, and my internal organs are functioning, and I can go and do the will of God today. I mean, they're more in number than the sand. And then you look across to the room to your family, and you see your children, and you see how God has blessed them, and you see how their fingers are forming, and their bodies are growing, and how they're learning, and how they're coming under the goodness of the Lord. I mean, these grains of sand pile up till you have pails full of sand. And they're heavy because they're wet with tears of joy at the goodness of the Lord in your life. And listen, if I see you stumbling into the house of God, reeling under the weight of heavy pails of sand, I'll understand why. Because that is the goodness of the Lord. That is the goodness of the Lord. How great is the sum of them? My, they're more in number than the sand. We couldn't even begin to bring in the total number of sands and the blessings of the Lord in our life. But, you know, let's pour out all we can in thanksgiving. Let's give everything we can to the Lord. Give him everything we can. All that is within me, bless your holy name. Let's pay down our praises. Let's pay down our praises. Let's pay down our praises. Let's make some vows to the Lord and pay down our praises because of all the goodness, all the benefits of the Lord that have been bestowed on our lives. Psalm 29, verse 9 says, "In your temple, everyone speaks of your glory. In your house, which is the gathering of the people of God together into an assembly, in your house, everyone speaks of your glory. So let everyone speak of his glory. And let everything, let everyone that has breath, praise ye the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 84 and verse 4 said, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will be still praising you." They will be, other translations say, always praising you. They will be continually praising you. They will be constantly praising you. Worthy is the Lamb, because worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory from his people. Let's stand together this morning. Let's pour out our praises to the Lord right now. Bring some buckets of sand with you this morning. Stagger under the anointing. Stagger under the goodness of God in your life. Moisten those sand kernels with tears of joy and offer them to the Lord. Say, "Here, Lord, I pour out everything. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory from my life."